Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Pew! It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And golly, I'm glad it's Friday.
We need an outtake show.
We need like a clip show of like the best of.
And
I have a topic.
Put that behind like an extra paywall too when that happens.
I have a topic, and I'm wondering how fast it's gonna or how long it's gonna take before we get to pontoon boats. I'm going to set the line at 10 minutes, and then it's going to get there. So we'll see what happens. Ben, crazy. When I first heard this, I was like, there's no way this is true. And then I listened to a little bit more of the interview, and I believe him. It's hard to believe it, but Alex Golish, I think the first time he ever came to Auburn, has ever seen Auburn, ever set foot in Auburn, was when he landed on the jet for his – I guess, introductory press conference after he got hired. And that just blows my mind, like, completely.
Did I not – you mentioned that I'd said this at one point in time before, sight unseen. And I think I was guessing just because the timeline of events, he took the job where he had basically said – because he was going to be offered Arkansas's job. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, take my name out of the hat. I'm interested in this one. And it's not like there was a – and I do remember that the administration flew to him. So it's not like they flew him up here for an interview, because when that happened – and it may have all been done – the initial interview was probably all done, because didn't Cohen say that it was like they were talking to people on the phone at midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning, and that was kind of the interview time? Either he said that –
yeah, I don't think he interviewed in Auburn.
Yeah. No, he didn't interview in Auburn. No. So I don't remember if they flew to him or if it was all done via Zoom or telephone calls or what
that
it
would
was.
Be wild.
But I'd said that at one point in time. I said, Kyle, he took the job sight unseen. And then I got to thinking about it, because you said that. And I said, well, he coached at Tennessee. Was he coaching there during a year that they came to Auburn? No.
Nope.
So he hasn't even been, and not that he would have toured the area while he was here. He would have been from the hotel to the field, back to the hotel, or to the plane. So it's not like he would have gone downtown. His family probably would have, but he wouldn't have had any – even come here as a coach, you don't get to see the town. So because they stay out of town, so it's not like they can do it on a Friday night or Thursday afternoon or whatever. So because they stay elsewhere. So this can't happen very often, correct?
See, now – initially, that was my thought. Okay. Initially, my thought was it's probably pretty rare that a guy just takes a job without at least taking his wife around town, like, or something, right? Like, that's probably, we would never do that. I mean, no. I would think.
Well, we're but not then, making millions of dollars per year.
But then I started thinking about it, Ben, and you can't go tour a town nowadays. Lane Kiffin sent his wife and kids in the – they found them, basically, or his ex-wife and kids to Baton Rouge and to Gainesville, like looking at property. Like, when could you even go do that? I guess they could, like, usher you in the back door of the, you know, the building, and maybe you could escape a little bit without being noticed, but –
yeah, but I think that becomes situational too. Lane Kiffin is a whole different ballgame than when we hired Alex Golish from South Florida. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Even though I'm in media, 6 months to a year ago, if you'd have held up a photo of Alex Golish with no colors on, no school affiliation whatsoever, and said, name this guy,
I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Now, you could show me Lane Kiffin in a Halloween costume, and I'd probably know who it is. So, I think it also depends on situation. I know this is done in basketball, because there are certain jobs in basketball that coaches will take sight unseen, even if they've never played there. North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, you know, places like that. In basketball, it's like, you know, a guy will resign or quit or get fired, and they got another guy hired like right away, because they're like, it's Duke. I'm going to coach there. Now, they keep it in the family, so that's probably not a good example. But North Carolina, Syracuse, places like that, I guarantee you that people will take the job sight unseen. Even University.
Maybe of Auburn's one of those, I guess.
And I guess when you're moving up, I guess if you're talking about a coach that's not SEC or Big Ten that's wanting to make the move up, I guess we need to come to the conclusion that Auburn is a good job. And regardless of what the national media says, regardless of what the state media says from AL.com or the people across the state, I mean, clearly he took his name out of the running for Arkansas to pick Auburn. So Auburn definitely has some pull to it, regardless of what a lot of people think. And I still am under the mindset where I just don't think – I mean, John Sumrall could go down to Florida, and I don't think they would know who he is. Tulane, Troy, I doubt if he was in Walmart with his kids, people would know who he was, especially if he was wearing something that was not school-affiliated whatsoever.
Yeah.
But Kiffin, Kirby, Saban, people like that taking, you know, Cristobal down and say, you know, Lanning, you know, over and over. They show up, people know.
Okay, we'll remove the paparazzi factor. Like let's take that part and put it to the side. I'll grant you that. When do you do it? When do you go see or when do you go interview?
Oh, I agree with that now.
How does that work in the calendar?
I mean, that's why you hear about following planes, because usually the administration goes to them. And if you can track tail numbers, it's Auburn landing outside of Louisville to talk to Bobby Petrino, dating back to that, you know, with the Tubbs thing. Or, I mean, it was – people were tracking those Auburn tail numbers, those private jets that the university owns, since it's public knowledge, even when Cohen was going here and there to talk to different people. So
his last game was November 29th. They beat Rice 52-3. He was hired on Sunday.
Yes.
So that happens way more than not.
And if I'm not mistaken, he said after the game, he was up there at the facility till 2 on the phone with the Auburn administration.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So I don't know. When you really think about it, I think maybe this happens more than we think, especially as you're moving up. Now, once you get to like the top level and you start talking about like a Lane, I don't know, Lane Kiffin, that's just such a rare situation. I feel like it's probably not really comparable to any of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe like Lincoln Riley going to USC. Like, I wonder how that whole thing went down. Like, did he go?
I think that's big factors too, because he's going to USC, which is in downtown Los Angeles. Is anybody going to know who Lincoln Riley is if he shows up in LA?
That one was funny because I don't even remember like a ton of – I just feel like that just happened. Like, it just happened, yeah. All of a sudden. We were like, oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Well, it
I
was think odd because he went Oklahoma to Southern Cal. I mean, it's not like he went Oklahoma, Texas, or Oklahoma to, you know, the Big Ten somewhere. He went to – I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, back during the OJ days and Pete Carroll days, Southern Cal was popular, but right now they haven't done anything. So when they pulled that, it was kind of like, he's leaving Oklahoma for USC? Like, now, I think when he left, though, Kyle, this is getting on another tangent, USC's private. I think he'd get away with shuffling money and being able to recruit. But now with NIL, he totally got screwed as soon as he got there. NIL kicked in, and it's like, okay,
yeah, he hadn't been able to win there at a high level.
Well, he's been getting out recruited by even friggin' UCLA.
Well, they're recruiting good right now. But yeah, so when you think about the calendar now, like if you think about how that works, do you think it possibly could happen more than maybe we think, where coaches take jobs? I'm shocked that he's never recruited a kid and just driven through Auburn. He said that. He's like, I've recruited in Alabama a lot. Yeah. He said,
well, that's another reason that was a shocker. Apparently, he's never recruited an Auburn High kid or an Opelika kid.
Or, my gosh, land in Atlanta and recruit a kid from Montgomery and just, like, drive through Auburn and be like, man, you know what? I got a Buc-ee's. Let's pull on through there. You know what I mean? Like,
happens to the soccer fans. They've done it.
Yeah. Oh, Auburn. This is where Auburn is. I tell you what. Let's get off at exit 51 and ride downtown real quick and just check it out. Like, it, nothing. Never been here.
I mean, I see your point, but I still.
I bet it happens more than we think.
I think this one, though, is so shocking because, as you mentioned, last game was against Rice. And then basically at 3:30 in the morning, he had a new job.
Yeah.
And not just that, he had turned down another job between 3:30 and taken a new job. And so,
had he ever been to Fayetteville? I don't know. This is another thing that you have to think about. He's played in Memphis. Isn't Memphis pretty close to Fayetteville? Like, it's maybe.
8 hour drive.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I thought they were like next to each other. I swear when I went to Memphis, there was like a, maybe it was not Memphis. I thought that like Arkansas was like just right there. I guess I'm wrong. It doesn't matter. I digress.
I don't think it's where, I mean, it's probably minimum 4 hours. I don't think he's just going to pop over there and see what's going on in Fayetteville. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's 4 hours and 36 minutes. Yeah, I'm way off. Okay, what was I even talking about? I don't even remember where I was going with this now.
Well, your take is you think it happens more than we know. I still think that just from the way people play and the ancestry, like the SEC, I mean, clearly Kirby was at Georgia, had played at Georgia numerous times, had
played for Georgia.
Yeah, played for Georgia, coached. Same thing with Kiffin around the SEC and even down at LSU. I mean, it's not like his family hadn't seen the town before. Ole Miss had been there before.
Usually there's some sort of connection. I'll say that. Like, usually when you make a hire, a lot of times there's two or three degrees of separation. You know what I mean?
I mean, Freeze had coached here. He knew Gus. His daughter went here.
Freeze didn't coach here.
Ole Miss didn't come here.
He coached in the a game here. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. His daughters were here. There were connections. I literally think I cannot think other than Cody Burns. I don't think there's not hardly any Auburn anything that connects him that would have drawn him to Auburn other than just the name on the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, that had to here we are talking about Golish. You brought up Lincoln Riley. He's the only other one that I can think. Because even Lanning had a connection when he left down here and went to Oregon. He had a connection in Oregon. Like, he had recruited in that Northwest corridor. So I don't know if he'd been on campus or he knew coaches or what, but he had some sort of – I mean, that's the two that stick out in my mind right now as of late is Lincoln Riley, Southern Cal, which is still a few years ago, and then Alex Golish.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's way more than that. I mean, like Brian Hartline, I doubt he has any ties with South.
Okay, Florida. So you said Brian Hartline. That just made me think Brian Harsin. Did he have any connections to Auburn? Had he ever been here?
Yes.
Yeah, he'd been in the hot tub.
No, he coached. Did he not coach against us 1 year, and he wore the same jerseys or same jersey colors or something like that? Or did the coach after them? I'm pretty sure Brian Harsin coached against us at Arkansas State.
I believe you're right. I believe it was when he was at Arkansas State. It wasn't at Boise, but I believe it was at Arkansas State.
Didn't that crazy thing – I swear something happened where, like, Gus – because he took over after Gus, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gus had ordered like some uniforms, and then obviously he left before they could wear them. So Harsin wore them and took like a delay a game penalty to start the game because they were like gray uniforms and we were in our dark uniforms. So they got like a penalty or something like that. You remember that?
Yeah, I do kind of remember that now.
So he had a little bit of a connection here.
Yeah. So he had some sort of connection.
But here's the thing where you're not taking into account. Football coaches are not normal human beings.
No, especially
head coaches. So they don't – the things that we are – the things that we use to make decisions, they don't necessarily look at things the same way. Like, I know some guys that are coaches that are like brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant football minds, can't balance checkbook. Like it's, it doesn't, yeah. Life does not get outside of football. So when Auburn came up, it was like, boom, one of the premier jobs in the SEC. I got money. I can win a championship there. They need a quarterback too. I can take Byron Brown. I'm going to triple my salary. Like that's a, this is a no brainer. He's not thinking, what are the school systems like? I wonder what state, oh, I wonder what, yeah. I'm leaving Florida. Florida has no state income tax. I'm going to a place that does have state income tax. What's my check going to look like after tax? Like, he's not thinking about anything like that. Where do I, what part of town do I live in? Oh, man, I don't really like the I don't like the food scene. I don't like any, you know, they don't think like that.
Yeah,
that's what we think about. Like,
what's the church life there? Or what's it, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, that's something that, you know, families of four usually think about that kind of thing.
Exactly.
I call it, when they get in that coach world like that, I call it like institutionalized.
Yeah.
Because his plan clearly, this is going to sound like he doesn't care about his family. And I don't want it to sound like that. his plan clearly is to, I'm taking the family up. I'm going to be in the facility 18 hours a day. I need a place to lay my head, see my family, make sure that they're okay and taken care of. Clearly, Auburn's going to pay me enough, at least for them to be, my wife not have to work and her to be able to take care of the family. I mean, he, like you said, he's not crunching. That morning at 2 a.m., he's not crunching numbers. No. He's finding out my NIL. He's not running
a spreadsheet.
Yeah, he's wanting to know, what's my NIL? You know, what kind of reins do I have to be able to bring kids as well as, you know, bring coaching staff?
What's their roster look like? What can I save? Yeah, that's the kind of, that's exactly what he's looking at.
He's not going at 2:45 in the morning, hey, what are the school systems like in Auburn? Like, yeah, they'll figure that out. Like, mom can homeschool the kids till they figure that out. You know what I mean? Exactly. And so, and that's the way head coaches think. I mean, I'll go as far as to say, I think Summerall, I mean, he was at Tulane. Florida offered him a job.
He took a job in New Orleans.
I know. But
so, like,
but I mean,
clearly, coaches don't care.
Yeah, he was not looking at the school system when he and his wife moved to New Orleans.
No.
And so,
I don't know anything about the New Orleans school system, so I'm not, no comment.
Oh, I do, because our mutual friend Van Riggs got offered a job down there when with his company, and he looked, and they were going to have to live like 50 miles outside the city.
Oh, boy. That's scary.
So, I mean, yeah. And then, but I'm sure even when he took the job at Florida, he's like, he walks in, he says, honey, it's Florida. Pack your stuff. Like, yeah. I mean,
Chet Williams would
be that way with me and you. Yeah. I mean, if not necessarily sight unseen, we would ask those questions. But if we got an opportunity to run a company, make oodles of money where our wives didn't even have to worry about doing anything, we would say, honey, got an opportunity. This is something we need to do.
Mm.
And when it's a life-changing decision. And now, clearly, their relationship's great because she's on board. It's a team. Like,
they got to be. Coaches' wives are just
– they're their own team. Like, that family.
It's crazy, man.
And that's what's funny about it, because I tell people, I say, you're not going to come between a coach and his family, because that family follows him wherever he goes, whatever he says goes. And, yes, they're a team, and the wife is making decisions. But for the most part – I mean, we saw it at Auburn, even in softball. It's a husband-wife combo. Like, we're taking the job. Gone. We'll worry about everything else when we get there. So, this would be a great study to see how many have done this, to see how many have gone, especially to his extreme. I mean, Kyle, you just mentioned it, or we just mentioned it just a moment ago. He's done by 10:30 that night. He's on the phone till 3 in the morning, takes the job. He's in Auburn on Sunday. Like, that's got to be the quickest life-changing decision any coach has made.
If we had time, I bet we could go coach by coach. I wonder what about Kalen DeBoer? That's a weird one.
Do you think that was sight unseen? I mean, it is Alabama. They did go to him. He may not have come down to Tuscaloosa. Again, though, he's one of those, the paparazzi factor. If he showed up in Tuscaloosa, I guarantee you nobody knew
him. No, I think they would. I think they would.
You think they would have?
The Tuscaloosa media was on their toes during the coaching search. And that, I guarantee you he would have been noticed. And he may have. He may have come, and I just haven't seen it. But there was no tie there. That's kind of a weird one. If you really think about that hire, that's a really weird hire.
Yeah, to go from Washington to Alabama. Go from the
not that he's not a – I think he's X's and O's. I think he's a great coach. But it was just weird. It's not the way they, you know.
Well, the way I explained it to one of my Alabama friends is like, you know, it just doesn't make that big of a difference. I said, oh, does it not? I said, you have lived your entire life in the state of Alabama. Your company just transferred you to the state of Washington. Do you think you would fit in right away when you got there? No, I mean, honestly. I mean, it's – I wouldn't. You wouldn't. You don't even probably know where the state of Washington is.
I think it's up there somewhere. Somewhere in Canada.
Somewhere in Canada. That is a weird hire. I mean, the tie that Golish had was just an SEC tie. Tennessee, you know, even big football Barely. Tie with Ohio State.
You give him a lot of credit for that Ohio State stint. I don't think he was there very long, but
wasn't he there? Well, he was a grad assistant there, and did his first year there. So he's there a couple of years. He was responsible for tight ends when he was there.
Count it.
They give you the job. You're coaching tight ends, even if you're a grad assistant. You're still an assistant coach, buddy. You just don't get paid.
This whole situation with Golish.
Yeah.
We may have completely, accidentally, backdoor, fell into it. But I think it's going to end up being something we look back on in history and say, dadgum, how did we luck up with that guy? I think he's going to be good.
From what you've seen thus far.
Yeah.
Does he not come across as like an Auburn guy? Even though he's never been here, even though he's never been affiliated with a program. I mean, he even said it in his press conference. He said, Cody Burns keeps telling me how great this place is. I guess we're going to see. Now he's like bought in. He's like, he's right. He's like, everywhere I go, everybody's, you know.
He does, because he echoes, I think, a lot of what the old school Auburn folks want to hear. Mm-hmm. I want to be, we're going to be tough. We're going to be hard-nosed. We're going to run the ball. We're not going to make stupid mistakes. And we're going to fight and be violent. And I think that was like the calling card of some of the most successful Auburn teams. Like, they just maybe not have the most bright and shiny offensive numbers, mm-hmm. which I think that'll be interesting to see. But, like, man, we're going to be smart. We're going to be disciplined. We're going to play hard. We're not going to make mistakes. We're not going to beat ourselves.
I think he's taking it to the next level too, Kyle. I mean, this sounds like a Golish love fest, but we discussed a couple of pods ago, or maybe I think it was last Friday's pod, where we did the weights, like the fact that he's keeping guys like in a certain window. And that's just kind of that's like NFL type stuff. Like when you go across the linebacker corps in the NFL, like every guy like looks the same. It's just one guy's just more talented than the other, but they're all built the exact same. When you move back to the defensive back, same deal. All the defensive backs look the same, weigh the same. And it's almost like Golish has brought that mindset to that disciplined mindset to the collegiate level. And I'll give him a nod. Nick Saban was that way. I mean, he was very detail oriented. He was out there with you and I have heard stories where they've talked about, you know, Golish is there everywhere. Like when they're lifting weights, we've had head coaches in the past that are like, let the strength and conditioning and assistant coaches handle that. I may go make an appearance, but he's there everywhere. He's with them at all times.
Feels like he is. Yeah. They're just always around each other.
And the players have said that. I mean, some of the players have said every time we turn, he's there. He's always coaching. And I think that's another reason that Auburn fans are starting to fall in love, because that's that die type mentality. That's that, you know, as bad as it sounds, even Malzahn during his heyday, he was very hands-on, like almost to the point where he was like covering up the field so people couldn't have drones that were flying over and looking at him and stuff. So, I mean, it's really, as you said, those guys are a different breed, dude. The head coaches, and Even I'd go as far as to say even the coordinators. I think they're the same. I think they, that mindset is just different than what most people are.
No joke. No joke. I think that's it for the day. I think that's it for the week. We didn't.
I do want people to jump in the chat though and let us know if they can think of anybody. Like I personally, I'm not with you. I don't think this happens very often, the sight unseen deal, in some way or another. Either they've coached there, they've been an assistant coach there, grad assistant there.
Recruited there. Like literally not ever have set foot in the town. That's wild.
In a football town. Like it's it's what he does. And especially when it comes to recruiting, because even at South Florida,
he never had barbecue before. He never had a pulled pork sandwich until he got here.
Now we're going far. I bet he's been on a pontoon boat.
Never seen one. First time he ever saw one.
When he and Narcisse together out there. And if you don't like it, you can go play for Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri.
Let's get out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. Be safe on the 4th, Ben. I'll holler at you.
War Eagle. Got it, man. War damn Eagle.